And how old is he at this time?
He is 12 months old.
Okay. Oh, so he's completely self-sufficient.
About one year, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Would you say?
And,
or as some of my new parent friends would say, 52 weeks.
Shut up.
Yes.
Come on.
Hey, dads and non-dads. Welcome to the Hey Dad Podcast. This is a podcast where three brothers,
hey,
and one guy who wishes he was our brother.
Yeah, I'll take this one. Hey,
talk about dad stuff.
And sometimes non-dad stuff.
So we thought the portrayal of dads in pop culture didn't really represent us or our friends very well. So we decided to start a podcast to talk about what dad life is really like for us. On today's episode, we are talking about technology and parenting. And spoiler alert, there's too much of it in our houses, and we're not very good at regulating it. So here's the episode. One caveat that I feel like I need to say is that I know there are a lot of people with strong opinions about technology, and there's like social science and studies about technology, and we're not going to be talking about any of that because we're just normal dads trying to figure this out that don't have time to read whatever study just came out from Harvard about the impact of technology on children. Mm-hmm. So don't add us. We're trying our best.
Tonight has been an interesting night. It's been crazy.
Yeah, for context, Derek was just a little late to podcast recording tonight.
I think I was on time, but...
Sure.
Yeah. I was late according to an arbitrary time you set down, but sure.
Yeah, that we all agreed on. Go ahead.
So, you've probably heard me talk about it before, but we, about a year, maybe a little bit longer, unintentionally allowed our child to get addicted to her iPad. Mm. This is our 4-year-old, soon to be 5-year-old. We were on vacation with a cousin. And he had an iPad and was watching all these YouTube videos where they unbox toys and talk about things in weird voices, done by adults, which shouldn't be a thing.
Like multimillionaire adults.
It's multimillionaire adults
the who downfall.
Probably belong in the registry somewhere.
100%.
And she got addicted, and we gave her like an old iPad that we had lying around, and it became her thing. And before we knew it, it was 3 months later, and we were like, yep, nope, she's an addict. This is great. But we've tried. We've taken steps over the years to introduce some sort of like structure to it, and I would say for the most part we've been pretty successful. Her thing though is that she does get attached to it. The attached to just being able to watch all these tutorials and makeup things and cartoons and strange things I don't want her watching. Side note: one time I overheard just an adult say on her iPad, "But Anna, you're pregnant." And I said, "Is that Frozen?
Are fan fiction Frozen characters?
Are adults making the characters from Frozen pregnant? No, you're not watching."
That is so weird.
We've seen some weird things. things that no parent should see. So tonight, before we came over for before I had to leave to tape the podcast, we go out to this park where there's goats. We feed goats and we go for walks. Okay, and it's like this. We walk. We hike. And Atlee, who's turning 5, but thinks she's turning 26 soon, is consistently like, oh, let me push the stroller Emmys in. Let me do this. I want to run through that vineyard. Let me climb that fence. You can't climb that fence. It's a barbed wire fence, but I still want to climb the barbed wire
fence.
Let
me rent this car.
pretty much. Let me smoke once. I want to try it. So her thing today while we were hiking was she wanted to push Emmy in the stroller. Now, we have a big double stroller, and Atlee's just too small to push it, and plus we're on like a slope, and she pushes it for maybe 3 seconds before the whole thing tips backward, and Emmy, who is strapped in, is all of a sudden upside down and just has a look on her face like, why would you do this to me? And
she looks at you like, what did you think was going to happen?
Exactly. And I'll give Atlee credit. Atlee is great at acting like things aren't weird. She's like, oh, well, that happened. Okay, I'll be careful now. And we're just like, no, honey, we think this is a really good example of why maybe pushing a stroller at your size isn't great. And she's like, no, I can push a stroller. You just have to help. You have to tell me when it's getting... when it's tipping over, and I'm, no, Atlee, we're not doing this. Like, Emmy is now scared crapless that this is going to happen again, and come on, we can't do this, you know? And so it slowly turns into a thing.
Just a full on.
And for us, when I say a thing, I mean we experience tantrums from Atlee that just, they just, there's no rhyme or reason. She gets fixated on one thing and that one thing becomes everything. And so we're telling her like, you're not going to push.
I think your 4-year old is the only, like is the only, no, I was going to say it's probably the only one. I've never heard of that, that fixation and tantrum. I think you're doing something wrong.
Never heard of an irrational tantrum. So that's, tell me more about this.
Normally tantrums are ordered. So, this tantrum has started obviously because we tell her that she will not be pushing her sister in a stroller. You're not doing this. And she freaks out, loses it. So we're on this middle of nowhere path through
she's
vineyards.
Embarrassing you in front of the goats.
Yeah, goats and llamas are looking at us like, I'm going to throw your kid. Yeah, kid. Goats. Kids.
Yeah, nice. Did they call you a bad parent?
No.
I'll see myself out. Thanks, guys.
Oh, my gosh. He's walking out. The thing about Atlee is that you can't nip these tantrums in the bud. Once they've started, you have to just kind of let it ride their course, kind of letting her ride it out. But there's also a thing where after a certain while, I don't care if you're in the middle of nowhere and nobody's around, I don't want to hear my kids screaming for that long.
Oh, 100.
And she's screaming bloody murder, I want to push the stroller. And so finally, does something that I've never heard her even threaten to do before. And here's what she says. She says, that's it. We get home. iPad goes up. You're not watching the iPad tonight. And it's like we told Atlee that her house has burned down. She goes, what? And loses it. So at this point, we're just like, there's no limiting the damage. We're just going to walk on this paved path through vineyards, this beautiful pastoral background.
We're just
rolling hills, a sunset.
And we're going to look the devil in the eye.
And the entire time, Atlee is walking, I would say, an average of 8 to 12 feet behind us, screaming and convulsing. And me and Amy, at this point, we're just kind of laughing. Like, there's nothing else you can do. Like, we've already gotten frustrated. Our frustration has gotten us this far. And Amy turns to me and she goes, do you think Atlee has a problem with God? Like, I think this is our way of finding out that Atlee has a gigantic problem with technology. And all it took was one temper tantrum in the middle of a goat field to find that out.
That's where I get most of my realizations.
That's where I have most of my tantrums.
Chem stars freaking out.
So that's a perfect transition into today's topic, which is kids and technology.
Yeah.
And all of us with kids at different ages trying to figure out how to integrate technology into our kids' lives without breaking them.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just start, like, Derek, I feel like that was a pretty good summation of, like, the status of your kids in technology. Like,
yeah.
iPad, YouTube, before bed, that's sort of, like, the rhythm.
Yeah.
Andy, what about, like, you?
What does David watch?
So David is too young to understand, you know, iPads or things like that. He just takes our phone and then presses buttons and, you know, locks me out of it and calls 911 and then throws it across the room when he's done. And then other than that, just, like,
I think
watching.
It sounds like he has figured it out.
Your kid might be the one who doesn't have a problem with technology. Yeah.
He has boundaries. Done with this. Yeah, throw it.
Dad's on this too much. What if I lock it and throw it somewhere?
Yeah. I'm helping Dad.
If I call the police, it'll all get better.
Dad needs this.
Yeah.
Other than that, just watching. I never realized how many times you could watch Trolls and still find something meaningful out of it. I think we've seen it 86 times, and I still see something new.
We sort of had this slippery slope with technology. I feel like we have three kids now. We started with really good boundaries, and I would actually say that this topic is like one of the most pressing parenting things for us right now. I think our oldest has a pretty healthy relationship with technology. Our middle kid is, like, it's not even a joke to say he's an addict. Like, my wife and I have been talking about it this week. Like, he displays the symptoms of an addict when it comes to technology. And then Josie, like, our two-year-old, like, already almost two-year-old, has watched, like, way more TV than either of our other kids had at this age. And so I don't know.
Case in point, like 20 minutes before they were going to bed, Gideon, your oldest, whispers to me because he knows he has to whisper. hey, Uncle Andy, do you want to play Super Nintendo? But don't like make a big scene of it, because like then Jules is gonna hear and he's gonna freak out. And, and Jules from down the hallway doing something else in his room goes, "What? Super Nintendo?" Geez.
He heard it.
He has radar.
Similarly, I've been playing Fortnite with Josie, like just through Xbox.
Boogie Bombs, man.
Xbox Connect.
She loves the Boogie Bombs.
And I will say this, man. She can definitely.
She's got a mouth.
She's got a mouth on her.
As a non-dad, it's really easy for me to start to kind of accumulate my opinions of how I'm going to parent someday when I watch my other parenting friends figure things out, and I get to kind of take like, oh, I like what they did with that thing. They're doing that wrong.
No, we can tell.
And I'm curious with technology because it seems like such a pitfall and something that I think our generation is having to figure out, like, as parents in a completely new way that no one's been able to like pioneer this really yet for us. I'm curious how you guys maybe thought you were going to handle technology in the house versus how technology is in the house now, and if it's different or more complicated or more nuanced, or if you've changed your minds.
I definitely had in my mind, like, David developmentally, like with his brain and everything, we're going to wait a really long time until he watches any shows or anything. But then what you don't realize is, well, then that means that I can't, connect with any media until he goes to bed. No. And so I'm just lazy. And the TV plays a front and central place in our living room. And it's so easy to just slide into it. It's if you're tired, feeling lazy, that's a really easy way to just get your kid to zone out, and you can maybe knock out a couple chores or things like that. And sometimes your kid wants to watch stuff that you want to watch, and you go, great, I need a break too. I'm just going to sit here.
You know what's weird is, I think for me, there's something, it's hard for me to really understand why I felt this way. But before I ever had kids, when I would see a small child operate a cell phone, like they knew what it was about. Like I'm talking small, like 3 or 4 years old, and they knew how to swipe and do all that kind of stuff. Yeah. There was something so novel and kind of sweet about it. Like, wow, man, kids are amazing. Your kid can do that.
And you're even like, wow, Apple designed stuff that's so easy.
Sir Joni Ives, I tip my hat to you.
And now you're like, you're the devil, Joni Ives.
But it's true, though. It's so much different when it becomes your kids, because what was once a novel thing, like, look at that circus monkey. He's riding a bike. He shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
Now, that's your circus monkey, and that's your bike. And there's
and that monkey should be swinging from vines
and eating
bananas
asleep?
And throwing poop.
Wait,
and
is that monkey tweeting something?
And if you take the bike away from that monkey, he will scream in a goat field.
But I'm not kidding, man. Man, the minute, because Emmy now will take Amy's phone, and I've seen her, and reminder, Emmy turns 2 next month and is smaller for her age and has perfect weight. She knows how to swipe things, and she knows how to, she's not great at it, but it becomes just so much more real around your kid and your phone. You're just like, oh, what have I done here? I'm a monster. I've got a monster for a kid. I'm a monster parent. I'm a parent. Family full of monsters over here.
I want to put a pin in this. We need to get Derek a thesaurus.
What's a word? What's a good word for monster?
Just tip on here like a monster. Like.
Honestly, I thought that we would use way less technology than we do. It's like, I don't know. I have a lot of like really conflicting feelings about it, but like to directly answer that question, there's way more technology embedded in like the normal rhythm of our life as a family than I expected. And I think my opinions on it have probably gotten maybe a little more nuanced than they were before kids, when it was just kind of like, playing outside, good, technology bad, limit technology. Technology is only a lazy crutch that can yada, 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 which I still think a lot of that is true, but maybe it's become a little less binary and a little more nuanced. But yeah, I mean, it's honestly like when my daughter, who's almost 2, wakes up, like the first thing she wants to do when she wakes up is like watch a show. Yeah. First thing. And she's not even 2. And that's like, you know, there's a part of me that – is really sad about that, because it's like that could be like special morning snuggle wake up time, but then it's also like what she really wants to do is like sit on my lap and like nuzzle in with her blanket and like have me hold her while we watch Spirit on Netflix. Yeah. And there's also a part of that where it's like that's also really cute and sweet.
No, David does that too. It's he doesn't want to just watch a show. He wants me watching it with him, him sitting in my lap, and I'm like, "Oh, this is like connection time for him." So that's where I can get sucked in, because I'm like, oh, he wants me to be a part of this.
So why do you feel like there's more tech in the like family rhythms than you thought before kids? Like,
I think it's a few things. I think the primary reason, as much as I hate to admit it, the primary reason is that it makes parenting easier.
Uh-huh. It does.
At least in the short term. Like it gives them something to do, to be engaged with. It's something that they like. And like, honestly, it's really hypocritical for us to have any judgment about it. Cause number one, we enable it with our kids. But number two, like I look at my phone all the time. Yeah. Like I live through my phone, and that's like, you know, part of that is my own issue. And part of that is just, that's the reality of the world we live in, and it helps.
And I'll also be real about something. I feel like this is a strange thing to bring up, but like, for instance, for me, myself, I know that my connection, specifically Twitter, has not just helped me sharpen my comedic voice and learned and figured out a personality and how to joke about things. It's kept me connected to a world and issues that, to be honest with you, I want to be connected with.
Same.
And the same, in a weird way, those positive effects, I believe, are also translatable to kids. Like, the reality is that, is it funny to bag on my daughter, who is 4.5 years old, for watching YouTube shows all day long, YouTube personalities? Yeah. Is there something kind of weird about it? Absolutely. My kid is incredibly verbal, though. And she has her own YouTube show now with me where they review snacks. And we review snacks. And to hear her talk about specific things and even hear words she says, she got those from watching YouTube shows. And she's also learned how to talk.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways, and she can have conversations with adults about things.
I think that's a really good illustration of how this like super myopic view of technology, like technology bad, is incomplete.
Yeah,
and because I have a very similar view that you have about like being connected to the world, and so much of what I understand now and I'm connected to and have had conversations with and learned from so many people that are so different than me, mm-hmm. and has broadened my perspective in ways that I think have really helped me as a human being. That's because of Twitter.
Yeah.
And not just Twitter, but like mostly Twitter. And so,
absolutely.
And I see that with my kids as well, that like, I think a fact of life in the 21st century for our kids as they grow up is that being tech savvy and not just like good at using technology, but also like the cultural literacy of technology mm-hmm. is going to be the currency or some of the currency that they will use to be successful human beings, happy human yeah. beings, connected human beings. And so I do think like, you know, for Julian, for example, he's my middle kid. He's the one who's the most addicted to technology for sure. He's also like, for him, being really good at the Lego Ninjago game on the little Amazon Kindle Fire tablet we have is like a meaningful part of his self-esteem because he feels so good at it. Because he is insanely good at it.
Kids like to achieve things.
And he wants to like yeah. sit with me and show me, Dad, look what I can do here. Dad, did you know that if you go through that door? Dad, I found the secret way in. Whatever. Okay. And part of it, there's a part of it that is negative. And then there's also a part of it where I'm looking at it and I'm like, how is that different from, Dad, look, I drew this picture?
Yeah.
Like, there's lines that you have to draw because there are like actually chemically addicting things that happen with technology that don't happen with drawing a picture.
Yeah.
But I also want to be careful that we're not just like overcorrecting and throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because like there's a lot of good stuff that comes yeah. out of that for our kid. So like we've riffed a little bit about how technology isn't all bad, but I think it is worth like talking about the like negative stuff. That sort of obvious stuff that like maybe we don't necessarily want to look right in the face because we can see the negative impact that it's having on our kids. But there is part of it where I guess on one hand, every new piece of technology is always going to like ruin kids. Like when radio came out 100 years ago, there were probably people like kids aren't going to ever learn anything. They're just going to sit around and listen to Little Orphan Annie and never actually do
anything.
There'll
be a broadcast of a fake Martian invasion.
Yeah.
They'll think it's real.
So there's that. But then the flip of that is, you know, and so I want to push back against that and be like, no, this the world changes and kids change with it and everybody just chill out. But then sometimes I'll look at like this like open mouth, slack, zombie kid looking at TV and I'm like, there's no way that's good for you. Yeah. And I think the thing that's actually the most telling, for me at least, is like when we say to Julian, especially, like, we're going to take your tablet away. Or even after, like, hey, you've had it for 30 minutes. Now your tablet time's over. We're going to take it. And I watch him react like he needs another hit. Mm-hmm. And that's the part where, like, I don't know. Like, how do you – if I do think it's good for you to, like, experience a little bit of this, and also, like, if 30 minutes of you guys not needing full-on parental attention means I can make eye contact with my wife or we can do dishes or we can do whatever thing we need to do around the house, like, that's also, like, net positive for our family, mm-hmm. provided it doesn't break your brain.
Well, I think it's a balancing act, right? Right? Please tell me it's a balancing act.
That's all I got. I'm just really hoping it's a balancing act.
Man, God, I hope it's a balancing act.
I feel like I wish what we had now is like, hey, here's like four tips we have to help you guys. But I think if we're being really honest, this is a thing we're like trying to figure out right now.
Yeah.
I will say the only thing that's ever sort of kind of worked for us is when we clearly communicated expectations to our kids around when they do and don't get technology and allow them to like wrap their brain around that and think about that. And, you know, we, for a while up until a couple months ago, we were in a really good rhythm with Julian where he only got his little tablet on the weekends. And so it only, so, but again, the problem is literally he would wake up every day and be like, what day is it? Monday. And then he would say out loud, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 5 days until I get my tablet.
And you're like, what is this solving?
And so even that, I'm just like, you're fixated. Like you're so, this is, you can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah,
so,
we didn't free you up to be more present to play with chalk outside. Mm-hmm. You're just counting down the days until you
instead
get
of
your thing
using
again.
Technology, you're just thinking about using technology. Yeah, and it is worth mentioning that we record this podcast from California. Like I work in the tech industry. And have a lot of friends that work at Facebook, at Google, at Netflix, et cetera, et cetera. And it is becoming increasingly clear, both through like statements of early executives at these companies and like obvious social science, that these products are designed to be addictive,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both the hardware and the software, mm-hmm. because addiction equals engagement equals more money. And so the profit incentives of these companies are very much aligned with a tech addiction. And so it is worth understanding what we're up against, that there are these like massively funded you know, companies that are incentivized to addict us.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, we would love it if you would share this podcast on Facebook.
If anything, for me, I'm trying to deal with my own tech addiction ahead of time so that I even have anything to share with David about why this is important, because he's watching me and I'm setting the stage. So like, I'm tech addicted. I am trying on our family day off to put my phone on airplane mode in a shoebox in my closet, because everything in me thinks...
I love how many levels away from you. Sarah and I both have keys.
We have to insert at the same time and rotate counterclockwise.
It's pathetic how far I have to go, because everything in me goes, oh, but somebody needs to let me know something. Somebody's got to call me, reach me. And really, it's just, I'm just going to be wasting a bunch of time on Instagram and Facebook and not with my family. And so it's like, hey, I actually don't need to be on this thing for the next 24 hours. And it's torture. I do relate to Julian and I go, okay, I do have a problem. So I want to be present to my family and even just my own thoughts and my kids and my wife. So I got to do this, and it is a struggle right now. But at some point, I hope that if I'm helping David not to be tech addicted, it's because I've figured out some things. I haven't yet.
This episode of the Hey Dad podcast is brought to you by us.
Hey Dad.
Hey Dad.
And this product we built called the Hey Dad Playbox, which is available at heydad.com. So we're talking about technology. We're talking about how difficult it is to figure out what amount of technology is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I think everybody can agree on is offline, face-to-face, imaginative, engaging play with your kids. It's really good for your kids.
It's huge. It's
super fun as a dad.
It's good for you.
So we built this product called the Hey Dad Playbox, and basically here's what it is. It's 90 minutes, 2 hours of imaginative, fun, engaging play with your kids, and everything you need shows up in a box once a month. We record these instruction videos that you can watch with your kids, so you sort of get a vibe for what you're going to go do. Everything you need is in the box, and then you just go ham with your kids.
Yeah.
And it might be a superhero theme. It might be we do a box where it's just 11 different games that you can play with PVC, or it might be indoor camping. It's a different theme every month. We like deliberately mix it up because sometimes things can get repetitive and boring with kids. But not with Hey Dad. So if that sounds interesting to you, if you're a dad and you love your kids, but maybe you don't always have the like super fun and engaging and memorable moments with them that you wish you had, or if you're a mom or it's just a spouse of someone that has kids and you know that they want to have great engaging time with their kids and they would love this, go to heydad.com right now and use the code HeyDadPodcast and you get $10 off your first month.
That's huge. And I got to tell you, man, someone who's played with these boxes of my kids, they are fun. I'm not just saying that. They are a lot of fun. They are engaging. They're creative. They keep my kids entertained. Our kids have loved the time they've had with the Hey Dad Playbox. So it's huge.
It's great. HeyDad.com. Check it out.
Well, guys, you know me. You know what I love. Love the BuzzFeed game.
Oh yeah.
Yes, you do.
I love being the facilitator of the BuzzFeed game. If you don't know, the BuzzFeed game is a game where I take all the crazy, wacky headlines from BuzzFeed's parenting section and then make up my own. So that's what I love to do.
Mm.
Now, here's what I hate to do. I hate it when I am bested at that game. And here's what happened last time. Last time I came with a couple fake BuzzFeed headlines and a couple real ones.
You came with some weak, weak stuff.
Listen.
That whole Subway sandwich thing.
I wish I could say that I disagree. But yeah, you're right. You're right. I came weak.
You came with your B material.
Yeah. And I left that day feeling like less of a man. So if you're unfamiliar, here's how the game is played. We have four headlines from the BuzzFeed parenting section I'm going to read to you. Three of them are real. One of them I've made up. It is your job to guess which one is fake. Let's now, listen, here's the deal.
Do this.
You guys all walked in here with a lot of swagger.
Mm-hmm.
You walked in here acting like you're king crap of crap mountain.
You know the old expression.
Yeah. King crap of crap mountain.
The third.
My favorite kids book.
KCOCM. Also my favorite local radio station.
So here we go. Three real, one fake. And question number one. Here we go. 16 photos that prove dad brain is totally a thing, too.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Chris Pratt banned his kids from eating fast food, and it's OMG goals.
It's OMG goals?
Goals? OMG goals.
Man, I hope that's fake.
Every parent is a combo of one TV mom and one Disney movie dad.
No.
Who are you?
I do not want that to be real.
I just got clickbaited.
Yeah,
I had to click on that.
Yeah. Which of these shower poop options would you choose? In parentheses, not pooping in the shower isn't an option.
No.
So, to recap, 16 photos that prove dad brain is totally a thing too. Chris Pratt banned his kids from eating fast food and it's OMG goals. Mm-hmm. Every parent is a combo of one TV mom and one Disney movie dad. Who are you? And which of these shower poop options would you choose? Not pooping in the shower isn't an option.
Mm-hmm. Oof. So yeah. One of these is fake.
One of these is fake. Three are real.
How Kev, we're going to start with you. Shower poop options are there?
It's like, and who's taking photos?
Yeah, guys, has this whole act of verbally processing ever worked out well for you?
Yes, last time. Yeah, we bested you.
Screw you.
Last time we conferred and we all picked the same one and it worked. I kind of want
to
do it.
Should we try to do it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I like it when my instinct happens.
It's one of the middle two is fake.
Oh, okay.
I think it's either Chris Pratt or it's the combination TV dad, TV mom, Disney dad.
I think it's that one.
Yeah. You think that one's fake?
I also think it could be the first one because that's the most like neutral.
Yeah.
You
think I came in throwing some heat. I came in right away going, I'm going to throw the most normal.
I think you came in throwing a changeup. I think you were just just straight down the plate and we're going to go, not that one. It's going to be the shower poop
Interesting. Andy, what do you think?
Man, I really thought that the first one about dad brain. Yeah. I'm just thinking like as far as which one's the most clickbaitable? Is that a word?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't think I would click on that one. It sounds fake. It sounds not interesting to me.
So you're saying you think maybe that's two of you saying maybe it's number
one. That one just sounds like it would definitely. It's like classic BuzzFeed fair.
Mm-hmm, okay. Yeah.
So it's either like that one was just super obvious or Derek knows how to write a good.
Yeah, I just think we're for the record, if you both want that one, I will go along wholeheartedly. I think we're giving him too much credit if we pick that one.
So my first thought was I don't think it's the Disney dad one because I can't even think of that many Disney dads.
Agreed.
If it was Disney Prince.
Yeah, all the dads get killed off in
they're
Disney
all gone.
Movies.
It's like Goofy,
Emperor's New Groove,
Mulan's dad, that's about it.
That's it. There's not enough. You have two choices.
So you want to go with that one?
Yes.
That was one of my two.
Mulan.
You dishonor me.
Let's go with that one.
Okay.
Disney dads?
You guys think that, so just for the record, you guys are all three are banding together and saying that the fake BuzzFeed headline is every parent is a combo of one TV mom and one Disney movie dad. Who
guys,
are you?
Can we hold hands?
So nervous.
Let's hold hands.
You are wrong. The fake headline was Chris Pratt banned his kids from eating fast food, and it's OMG gold.
That was number two.
Has reclaimed.
I think we should have done that because it's OMG goals isn't a thing people say, is it?
People say dumb things.
It is.
Derek, you know what?
How does it feel?
I gotta give it up for you, man.
How does it feel? Feels freaking great, man. I got my curveball back.
How Derek got his groove back.
You got the belt.
Didn't have to go to Jamaica.
Right? Welterweight BuzzFeed champion, Derek Walker.
Well, guys, listen guys.
Derek is not a welterweight. Look at
him. Listen, guys. How dare you. All right, guys. Last one. We have four headlines. Three are real. One is fake.
Let's do it.
First one. Is God real? We asked 50 parents.
Oh my gosh.
Next up.
Really getting into the real stuff.
We know your age based on how hot you think these Disney dads are.
That's real.
Disney dads is a theme tonight.
Yeah. Real. Super real.
This mom discovered she had a needle in her spine 14 years after giving birth.
No. Real.
Moms, share your mom-splaining horror stories.
Oh, wow. That is a good one.
Yes.
What was the first one?
Is God real?
Is God real?
Is God real?
I'm going to say the first one is fake.
Well, let me recap. So just to recap for you guys. Is God real? We asked 50 parents. We know your age based on how hot you think these Disney dads are. This mom discovered she had a needle in her spine 14 years after giving birth.
Oh.
And moms, share your mom-splaining horror stories.
I'm going to say we know your age.
Wait, are we united?
We got it. At this point, we got it.
So you're back on no Disney. There aren't enough Disney dads.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm feeling that.
Just we know your age is like, that's just weird.
Okay.
Is God real?
I would say the premise of the age part would be like when you were 15 when this movie came out. So we can tell you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is
nodding.
The problem is I'm with you on there just aren't very many Disney dads.
It just feels like they're just like you're 32. Like it just seems like a dumb quiz.
But they could say like you're 30 to 35 and that could be there.
Yeah.
I would say that's, I would still say my first one is God real? But that would be my number two.
I just want that one to be real so I can find out what they decided.
So then let's guess, let's talk about is God real then. Oh no, you want to know if the parents decided if gods were real? If God,
yeah, because I want to read that one.
Okay, Andy, break a tie. Which one
Disney
do you think?
Disney Dads.
Okay, Disney Dads is our guess.
All right. Hold hands.
No, that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Let's just give each other the middle finger.
Okay, here we go.
We're really doing it. Just you guys can't see it, but we are doing it.
The fake headline. Is God real?
Dang it!
We asked 50 parents.
Kevin, listen,
guys, can I give you guys a little behind the scenes in that? Yeah. So when I write these, I'm typically
very drunk.
On the toilet.
No, I'm typically sitting in a coffee shop and got my headphones on, doing a little bit of pre-work, my margin of my day, getting some stuff done.
So you're like, Amy, I need you to hang with the kids. I got some very important work to do.
You will be giving me extra credit for this. When I typed the words, is God real? We asked 50 parents. I audibly laughed to myself, and I have this new pair of headphones that covers most of my ears.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm getting used to, and I clearly laughed too loud because...
And it was a weird laugh.
Because the old couple next to me were definitely interested in why I was laughing. But yeah, is God real? We asked 50 parents. It's going to be an article I am planning on pitching the BuzzFeed in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, I hope so.
And I've recovered my mojo.
Well, that's all for the Hey Dad podcast. But before we go, Tyler, you wanna tell the good people what we can expect next week?
Yeah, we actually have a Hey Dad exclusive. Tune in for our interview with Smokey the Bear and his shocking confession that there are, in fact, like 7 billion people who can prevent forest fires.
No!
What?
Not just you, turns out.
Well, that's all for the Hey Dad podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Andy.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Tyler.
Love you. Bye.